There we go. Now, we're on the air. I forgot to turn us on. So, again, this is Glenn Coble, and I'm with James Anderson, our naturalist here in Marion County. And to my boss, Scott, and to Adam, who does the stuff on, you know, putting it over. I messed up, so you're not going to get the first minute of our show. Sorry about that. We do have it now, and we're going to continue on. And we're James has, excuse me, I got to do one last thing before. There we go. I killed it. James is going to tell us what we can do if we find an injured animal, and that happens occasionally.
Yeah.
And I don't know what in the world to do if I find a wounded bird or a wounded mammal or whatever.
So you bring up a very good question.
If I find a wounded snake, it's going to stay wounded, and I'm not going to be there. So.
Oh, come on.
Go ahead.
So, you know, this is a big, big question that not just only you, but, I mean, we have a lot of people sending out to us throughout the entire year. Usually it seems like summer seems to be the big time.
Yeah.
I think it's probably because more people are out and about.
But, yeah, probably.
So I refer out to a couple different people. The first thing I usually refer is to our wildlife officer, who is Chad Grody. So he is in charge of the wildlife and fishing game laws in Marion.
Just Marion, or
yeah.
Does he have a bigger area?
Okay. Just Marion County. Each okay. Ohio, or each county in Ohio has their own wildlife okay. officer. Okay. So there's two ways you can contact Chad Grody. You can call the Division of Wildlife. Office number, I think it's 1-800-WILDLIFE, and I forget which letters represent each number, but yeah, again, it's 1-800-WILDLIFE, but this is his office phone number, which is 614-745-7210.
Better give that again, just in case mom and dad didn't get their pencils out quickly.
All right,
right
so for the wildlife officer for Marion County, Ohio, his office phone number is 614-745-7210.
Okay. Good.
So there is an actual wildlife rehab facility in Richwood, Ohio, where I graduated in Richwood.
Mm-hmm.
And they just
down south west of here, right?
Yeah, west of here. Yeah.
West. Yeah.
So they handle. I don't know what all. I assume they do all wildlife. I've never been to their facility, but I've had people that have taken mammals and birds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was a snake or a turtle that was injured. I'm not sure if they'll take them, but you're more than welcome to call them.
If a salamander injured, it'll just grow it back, right?
On its tail. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. but that phone number for the, it's called Crow's Hollow Wildlife Rehabilitation Center.
Crow's Hollow.
Yep, Crow's Hollow. Again, this is in Richwood. Their phone number is 614-535-6442.
Yeah, give that one again, too.
All right.
Just in case.
So, again, for Crow's Hollow Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, again, the phone number is 614-535-6442.
Okay, good. Now, have you had to take animals to these places?
Not there, but to the Ohio Bird Sanctuary.
Oh,
which
is that?
It's up in between Mansfield and Lexington, okay. So Richland County. I'm kind of out in that general direction.
Okay.
So I have taken a dove there before. I have taken a house sparrow there before. I think that, yeah, those are the only two I've taken to that rehab facility.
Doves seem to let you get awfully close before they take off.
Yeah.
And they take off pretty slowly. So.
They do, and they make kind of that whistling sound,
yeah.
Don't they?
Or flapping sound if it's close enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love doves. They're beautiful and big old fat birdies, and I like them. I wouldn't be afraid of having a dove sit on my shoulder.
Yeah.
But I'm always worried that they, because I've seen them in roads, and they don't get off the ground real fast. I'm
they
always
don't.
Worried they're going to get run over.
My wife and my sister have accidentally hit some morning doves. Not, you know, not intentionally, but they
yeah.
just didn't get up quick, and they just end up accidentally hitting them.
Yeah. And one thing I learned, honking the horn isn't always the best idea.
No.
Because sometimes that just startles them and they stare at you. Now,
With deer.
I honked at a deer and I actually caused its demise because it looked at me and then it ran the other direction right into oncoming traffic.
Oh, and, that's unfortunate. Yeah.
It was bad. Anyway. And I don't think deer are supposed to fly, but this one did, unfortunately.
I saw that a couple years ago on 95 on the west of Marion. I was coming back from the Oorang Bang event from LaRue, and someone in a, I want to say it was a Mustang or a Corvette, beautiful red car, and it did that to a skunk. And it hit it real hard, and it went flying up in the air.
Yikes.
And I pulled over, and I mean, it was dead, and it wasn't
anything to do for him
or
her. Now, I have noticed, now, we've talked the last time that I noticed skunk smell out in my backyard.
Yeah.
And yesterday, it came back, apparently. And it's always like around, I take my doggy out sometimes between 3 and 4. And that's when we get the most odor. Would I be startling it when I'm opening the door and that's why we get the smell? Or is it just he's wandering through and just leaves the smell?
Well, they don't want to just, they're not like dogs. They don't just like leave marks or territory of their smell. That's just a very, it's a defensive spray.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is with skunks is it's their last defense. The first thing they'll do is they'll hiss, they'll growl, they'll lift that tail up. The spray again is the last thing, because once they spray, it takes about 2 weeks to replenish that spray. So if he's already sprayed a person, a dog, another threat, you know, he's 2 weeks vulnerable.
Okay.
And that's a great opportunity for coyotes, foxes, owls, like we talked about.
They don't wear a sign around their neck saying I'm vulnerable, though.
No. But once that predator figures out, hey, I haven't got sprayed yet. Okay, you look like you're going to be an easy meal. Yeah, you're lunch.
Yeah. Okay, now, didn't you have a fishing thing? Yes, you did have a fishing thing.
Yeah, it's actually this Saturday.
Oh, that's when it's going to be.
Yes.
Now, what type of fish do they take out of the lake out there?
So we have our typical panfish species, so we got bluegill, sunfish, we got crappie, white and black crappie, we got smallmouth, largemouth bass, and yellow and channel catfish.
Now, if they're going to come out to that, they have, and they're of, you know, over 12, or is it over 16? So they have to have a license.
A 16, yeah, you 16. Have to have a license.
Yeah, okay. And you can come out in a canoe if you bring your canoe.
Yeah, if you want to. I won't have a canoe, but if you want to.
All right, we have a caller. Let's go see what they have to say.
You're on the air. How can we help you?
You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hey, Glenn. Hey, James. Fred Malone calling.
Oh, hey, Fred. How you doing?
Good. I got a question for James.
All right. Sure. Shoot.
Charlie always kept me updated on this, so I'm going to have to fall on you now, James.
Uh-oh.
Every year, I put out my hummingbird feeder, and every year, Charlie would tell me when it was time to take it down because they'd gone off to South America.
Yes.
Is it time?
There are a few left. I would probably wait until about the middle to somewhat late of October.
Oh, that long?
Yes. Now, you could be comfortable if you want to, probably in the next week or two, you probably could put it down, but sometimes you always get those stragglers, especially the ones from up north that might be coming through. But I always tell people, usually about the end of September, I mean, we're not really seeing an abundance of them. We just may see one here and there. A couple of days ago, I saw one around the Mount Gilead State Park. So, I mean, they're somewhat here, but most of them are in southern United States.
I saw one about 3 days ago out in my front yard.
Okay.
So there's still some around.
The reason I wondered, I filled mine, I think last week I filled it, and I'm not noticing hardly any going down.
Yeah.
So I figured they were kind of getting scarce.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now,
and oddly enough, this year I filled it several times throughout the year, and neither my wife and I have seen but one.
Really?
Huh.
They must be coming at night or dusk or early in the morning.
And it keeps going down, though, huh?
Well, yeah. Like I said, I've probably filled it several times throughout the summer, but but we've only seen one between the two of us, which is kind of
maybe the bar's closed because of COVID and they decided not to go out.
I don't know. Well, something's getting in, and I can't imagine anything besides
Orioles, actually.
Orioles?
Baltimore Orioles take advantage of hummingbird feeders, and sometimes I have seen them taking, you know, quite a bit of that the stuff that we make for the hummingbirds.
And there seemed to be a lot of Orioles around this year.
There was, and we're not 100% sure why there was a large abundance of Orioles, but some people think when COVID hit and planes weren't moving through as much, that was roughly the same time when migration was happening. So a lot of our summer resident birds didn't have any impact with planes.
I think they're trying to start a baseball team here.
They could.
In Columbus.
Well,
yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and leave that up at least for another month because, yeah, you know, there's no need to take it down.
Fred, do you make your own, or do you buy the pre-made?
No, I usually buy the commercial stuff.
Yeah, okay. I understand you can get them really drunk if you leave it up too long or if you make it wrong.
You can if it ferments.
Well, my wife went on the internet and got the formula for making it, and I don't know, I could have done that, but it just seemed easier.
And probably cheaper.
Probably in the long run. The other thing, I didn't want to interrupt your conversation about the skunks, but we've had a skunk visiting our yard probably for the last couple of months.
Okay.
Seems like he comes right after the grass is mowed, and I know he's probably...
He's looking for grubs.
Yeah,
that's
because I've got little tiny holes all over the yard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of sharing my yard and the neighbor's yard.
Because when you're mowing, you're probably disturbing the grubs, and then, he's probably smelling them, and, he's probably looking for a nice meal.
Yeah.
You know, and oddly enough, this is the largest skunk I think I've ever seen. It's really a big one.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you haven't seen me then.
Well, yeah, I've seen you.
Yeah, that's right.
But it just, oddly enough, it seemed like it was... extremely large compared to the ones that I normally see.
He's probably getting into some trash.
Could very well be.
Interesting, Fred, because I was just talking to him about smelling one in my yard, and it was right after I mowed.
There's been no odor.
Yeah.
When I went to take the dog out, you know, and I turn on the big spotlight, he'll either be in my yard or the neighbor's yard munching away.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, thanks for the call. We're about ready to break, so I'm going to have to get rid of you.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Great talking to you, Fred. Fred Malone, he'll be on my show in a month. Not quite a month. He comes on the third Thursday of the month.
I listened to that program. Yeah. I learned a lot.
Yeah, he's a wealth of information, and I'm thrilled to have both you and
so you got a little history and a little nature.
Yeah, I'm starting to learn.
ABC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
We're back, and I was sound asleep here. Thanks, Fred, for calling in. We were talking about skunks, and I just told James off the air that I've never seen a skunk in the wild. I've seen them at zoos, but he says, what month?
February is when you'll see a lot of them active.
Because they're mating.
Yep, they're breeding season, yep.
Now, is that why deer are hit so much at this time of the year?
Yes. Because rut will begin. And then, I mean, hunting season does kind of impact
scare
that as
them
well.
Out.
Yeah, but mainly it's the rut because, I mean, that male, I mean, he is working and he is trying to find those does.
Yeah.
And he will travel mainly day and some night just to find his females.
I know some guys like that.
Yeah, that's true. I knew a couple too.
Back when I used to go to bars and stuff, I knew some of those guys. Oh, well.
But then right after rut, they are so exhausted.
Really?
Oh,
what
yeah.
do they do? And where do they go during when they're...
So usually right after rut, I mean, they're usually kind of more hunkered down. They only come out, you know, only a couple hours during the day, just get a little nibble here and there, and then a little bit of drink of water or what. But other than that, they stay primarily in their little deer beds.
So they're not like antelope that travel across country?
Yeah, the deer don't migrate, no. Yeah, now, okay. The only time you could see a big herd that might be migrating, if like right now with the wildfires out west, if half that is destroyed,
push them out.
They may want to, you know, find a relocate. So yeah.
We were when I was young, my mother and father, we drove out to Washington, state of Washington, with a little trailer, and we got out to probably Oregon, one of those northwest states, and there was a deer on the highway.
Oh yeah.
And it wouldn't let us. I mean, it was a two-lane highway, and Dad didn't want to hit it.
Yeah.
And he didn't want it because we were going around mountains and stuff. He didn't. So he pulled over to the side so we could see it.
Yeah.
And I got out because deer are, they're friendly, right? Not so much.
Oh.
But it was a little girl deer.
Oh.
And she wasn't unfriendly.
Yeah.
But she decided she would leave, and she started going up over a rise by the road. So I thought I'd follow her, and I followed her up, got over the rise, and there was a big buck with a whole bunch of female deers, and he was not pleased.
Oh, probably not.
I ran very fast to get back in the car. Yeah, but deer are... I think a good rule of thumb for wildlife is leave them alone.
Oh, yeah. You leave them alone, they'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
Same with the snakes. I always tell people that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't want to be around you.
No.
You're not another snake.
That's right.
What are they going to do?
They just want to just be left alone and just carry on.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, on that same trip, we went through Yellowstone. And, there were a lot of dumb people, including yours truly, that would get out of the car and want to go see a bear.
Oh, I saw that last spring. At Tennessee, the Great Smoky Mountains. I was seeing a lot of people who were getting out, and I mean, they were getting very close to bears. And
were they black bear?
They're black bear. There's only black bears in Tennessee.
Okay.
But there was mom with her cubs.
Don't mess with the mom.
And I was telling my wife, I said, these people, I was exchanging words. I don't want to stay over there, but I just told her, I said, we need to go.
And yeah, you don't want to see them being a prey.
Yes, and then sure enough, we went to another spot where there was a bunch of black bears, but then the park ranger was in that station, so of course they weren't getting close because I think it's almost a federal offense, or I know it's a misdemeanor, one of the two.
Yeah,
to mess with them in national parks.
Yeah, now... from what I learned when I wrote my article about the black bear in Ohio, they're pretty much they're omnivorous. They
yes.
eat both meat and berries and stuff. But they're not really critters that try to look. They won't come searching for you to eat you.
No.
They're pretty mild-mannered.
Yeah.
But if you get out in the West and you see grizzlies and you see brown bears, you better leave them alone.
Yeah, they're a little more on the aggressive side than the black bears.
Yeah, and they do like lunch.
So, 75% of a black bear's diet is primarily plants, and then 25% is small animals. And, I mean, the biggest thing they'll eat is a white-tailed deer fawn, especially in those early stages when the fawn just sits still.
Yeah.
Because bears actually are not
crying.
So bears are actually not very good predators. They can't run very far.
They kind of lumber too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they primarily, they'll eat small mice, they'll eat grubs and insects. That's where they get a lot of their protein.
And you say that the skunks eat the grubs too.
Yeah. Skunks eat grubs too.
They can come to my yard anytime they want to. I'll put up with the smell if they'll eat up the grubs.
If you see a big pile of dirt in your yard, it could be a really good indicator that a skunk is there.
Now, you said to Fred when he was talking, looking for little holes in the yard. I have lots of little holes. Not big holes like a squirrel would put a a nut in, but little holes, like maybe a half an inch around. What would that be?
A little that would be probably a meadow fool.
What is that?
It's like a mouse. It's a little bit bigger than a mouse, but smaller than a rat.
Okay.
They make little holes like that. A lot of times they'll stuff their food underneath.
Huh. Well, and I think you told me it was probably a mouse that made a big hole in my garden.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't a big hole, but it was a hole that I filled, and he didn't come back. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because he would have eaten all my tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
But my garden was better this year.
That's good.
I got more tomatoes and more cucumbers. I still have a couple of cucumbers and a couple of tomatoes still hanging in there. But I'm not a good gardener, so we couldn't feed more than my wife and I on my garden, unless you want herbs. I've got herbs coming out the ears, and neither my wife nor I like herbs.
Do you do like cilantro and lemon balm?
Yeah, I did lemon balm, but we found, first of all, there was nothing we liked that had lemon balm in it.
Yeah,
and it's kind of, I don't know. I didn't like the plant. It's kind of spiky, tall.
Yeah, they do.
And
they got about a foot and a half.
Yeah, and I, for some reason or other, I was anti lemon balm after I grew it. Yeah, I don't know why. I do a lot of. I have tons of sage, tons of mint. You can't get rid of mint.
Yeah, mint's
very and
popular.
Tons of oregano.
Oh yeah, cilantro. And, that's also a very popular one.
Cilantro, I do okay, but it isn't. It's an annual plant.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
I prefer the non. Non-working plants that I don't have to do much on.
Oh, yeah.
The perennials.
Yes, perennials.
I have a great perennial garden out in my front yard this year. I have flowers that are as tall as me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was a good one this year. Next year, there probably won't be anything out there. Anyway.
It varies from year to year.
Yeah, it does. Okay, let's see. I thought just came into my head that I wanted to ask, and I forgot what it is. That's kind of the way I am.
but, you know, kind of back at the black bear subject, you may see quite a few, especially if you're in the northeastern, southeastern portion of the state.
Yeah.
I know there were a lot of videos and pictures around Lancaster area of bears getting on people's porches and stealing pumpkins.
Yeah.
Because, that's a nice sweet treat for them.
Yeah, it would be a good treat for them. Yeah. There are a lot of teenagers that get on purchases and steal pumpkins and break them.
Smash them, yeah.
Yeah, smash them. Now, would they be in the northeast because that's the land area where they can come over?
Because Pennsylvania
has a lot of black bear, and so does West Virginia.
Yes. So a lot of our wildlife that we used to have, luckily in our neighboring states, they're pretty abundant. Well, what I kind of tell people, there's kind of what's called a spillover effect. So the population is getting more and more and more. Well, then you're getting these older adults, especially with the males, they're kicking out the juveniles. Well, the juveniles need somewhere to go. Well, where they go, they migrate and they come in Ohio. Bobcats was a great example of that.
Oh.
And then bears is another great example of that. We're noticing elk slowly coming back on the northeast.
Elks?
Yeah, on the northeastern side, southwestern side of the state. They're crossing from the Ohio River.
How do they go across the bridges, or do they swim?
They swim.
Okay.
They swim. They're very powerful swimmers. If the Ohio River was to freeze over, they have walked. Yeah, they have walked.
Yeah.
But they're really good swimmers. Elks are.
I didn't know that we had elk in the state.
And then fishers and porcupines are coming from the northwestern part around Michigan. They're coming.
What's a fisher?
A fisher is a giant. It's like a giant weasel. It's like an otter, but they don't. They're not in the water. They are primarily on land, and they climb trees, and they are the only active predator for a porcupine. And that's why we're seeing more reports of fishers, because porcupines are slowly coming back into Ohio in the northwest and the northeastern part.
How do they get to a porcupine with all those squirrels?
What they found out, they'll try around the tail or the back hind region, and they'll flip them over, and then obviously quills, and then they go for them.
The soft underbelly.
Yeah. Yes, the soft spot.
Yeah. Oh, me. Let's not talk about it. I'm going to cry again. That's the problem with wildlife.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of half of it, and I don't want to see the other half eat the other half. It's a bad case that I have. All right. Now, should we expect any migrations to come through this area?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
What do we look for?
Currently, right now, we're going through the monarch migration.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're seeing a ton of them at Marion Tallgrass Trail.
Did yours fly away?
It did, right. I didn't get a picture, I should have. But
I had a picture on my post of a monarch that came and visited my perennial.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I'll have to look at
that. Very pretty.
But just last week, we saw quite a few flooding around the tall grass, and then a lot of our migratory summer residents, they're coming, they're coming through, and they're heading down south.
Like what?
A lot of our warbler species. There's tons of warblers. We're seeing from Wilson's, Tennessee's, black-throated greens, black-throated blue warblers. I could just name you a whole bunch of other ones.
You've lost me already.
And then our winter residents should be arriving before too long. Like we talked about with the trumpeter swans, we'll see more of them. The short-eared owls and the northern harriers. They're coming from the northern U.S., Canada, and they'll overwinter in Big Island.
Are there ducks that come through?
Yeah, we do have quite a few duck species. Usually they love hanging around Big Island, Killdeer Plains Wildlife Area.
Uh-huh.
February, March, there's a really big migration. And you know when you hear the term March Madness with basketball? Well, us birders, we call March Madness because of the waterfowl that are migrating through.
Well, that's when they migrate. Now, when do birds that migrate like that, when do they mate?
When do they mate? So it depends on the species.
Okay.
A lot of them will mate in the fall, and there are some that will mate in the summer.
Okay. Surely they don't mate while they're migrating.
No.
Too much going on.
Yeah.
Plus, I imagine they get tired.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a lot of energy.
I know I had a hard time mating when I was tired.
I mean, like.
But I didn't migrate.
So. I mean, some of those ducks can clock about 60, 70 miles per hour.
Oh, my. I love those pictures. A guy has one of those little airplanes, and the shows the ducks flying.
Oh,
with him.
Yes.
I love those pictures.
Yes.
They're great. Anyway, well, we got about another minute, I think I've done all the mating talk I should do. Do we have something to look forward to in the spring? What are you looking for?
Definitely spring wildflowers.
And our
herps, so reptiles, amphibians coming out.
Do you plant wildflowers out there at the tall grass trail?
Yeah, we have, and I have at my own house as well.
Yeah.
But our fall wildflowers, they're out and about at the Tallgrass Trail and the other parks. Goldenrods, asters. It's very beautiful right now.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I'm going to have to. We haven't been out in about a month, so I'll have to come out that way. All right. We're just about out of time here. Not quite. My perennial is, like I said, is as tall as I am, and it's orange and red.
Okay.
And you'll have to look online and see my stuff. I didn't do a very good job of taking pictures of that. I'm a good photographer, but for some reason or other, it's hard to. I have very little flowers and very big flowers all in the same area, and it's hard to get them all. I also have a flamingo in the middle of my garden. Yeah, and he's out of metal. So anyway, we're out of here for just a second.
Scott, did you know that Halley's Comet used to fly over Marion every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Halley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here, and we're talking with James Anderson, the Marion County naturalist, who has taught me more than probably I wanted to know today.
The more you know, like NBC used to always say.
Yeah. Well, now, tell us, you've got lots of things still going on out at the Tallgrass
Yes,
Hill.
Absolutely.
Why don't you pass along the information that you have?
Yeah, so the programs we have left, we have a few spots open for this Saturday, September 26th, from 9 to 11 with Fish with the Naturalists. If it fills up, you're still more than welcome to participate, but you'll have to kind of, you know, sprawl out, because the participants will be giving a booklet and a measurement sticker. Uh-huh. On September 29th, we're having our Paw Paw program at 5:30 at the Tallgrass Trail.
Okay.
There at the Shelter House. We've only had, again, about 3 or 4 participants, so we still have a few spots open. And then for the month of October, I got a lot of fun, exciting things coming up. On October 1st, we will have another wonderful World of Paw Paws. This, again, will be at the Tallgrass Trail at 5 o'clock p.m. We'll hopefully have some fruit for you able to try. If not, you're able to take some home, at least get them ripened and able to try them later on.
Okay.
On October 9th, we're doing a bat and owl program. This is at 7 o'clock p.m. We're asking participants to please bring a red flashlight. We will be going out onto the trail to look for bats and owls.
Now, they're not friends, are they?
No.
I didn't think they would be.
October 10th, we're doing our morning bird watching program. This will be at the Myers Woods Nature Preserve at 8 o'clock a.m. If you're not familiar where this park is, this is on Marion Wyandotte County Road, right across from the Kidder Plains Wildlife Area, just northwest of the village of Morrill.
Okay.
October 15th, we're having a fall wildflower hike at the trail at 5 o'clock p.m. On the October 22nd, we're doing another Bat Now program, just in case if the first one gets filled up really fast, because like we mentioned before, we're only allowing 9 other participants.
Where do you find those red flashlights?
So you can buy them. You can
buy the lens? Can you buy them?
Well, not the lens, but there's those headlamps.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
can buy them at Root King. You can buy them at Dunham's. You can buy them at Walmart.
And the red protects your eyes from losing. I mean,
it helps with your night vision.
Yes, it helps with
yeah, that. I always tell people, I'll go more into detail about it later on.
Okay.
But at least that's the big scope of it. It yep. helps with night vision.
I'm sorry. So. I cut you off here.
No, you're absolutely fine. So, that's on the 22nd. That's at 7:30 p.m. Again, please bring a red flashlight. On the 24th, we are doing our milkweed pot collection program. I don't know if I mentioned it on the last
month. Wait a minute. You got to back up. A milkweed pot?
Pod.
Oh,
sorry. Pod collection.
I didn't know they had marijuana out there on the trail. They probably do.
Unfortunately. So milkweed is, like we talked about last month, is one of the host plants for monarchs.
Yeah.
So this is the time of year that the pods are going to be producing seeds. And we are in collaborative with the Ohio Pollinator Initiative Habitat Program. And so what we will do is we go out in different areas. For this program, we'll just go out on the trail. But you can do this at home if you got friends or family that have milkweed pods. Just please make sure the pods are brown, they're mature. If you barely can, you know, put a little pressure on it and it pops open, that's another great indicator
okay.
That it's ready to be harvested. Once you do harvest them, put them in a brown paper sack. Don't put plastic, because plastic retains too much moisture.
Gotcha.
And then also to make sure you label the bag of what county you found it, and also the dates.
And then what do they do? Do they plant those seeds?
Yeah, so what okay. we'll do is we'll collect the seeds, and then we give it back to the Ohio Division of Wildlife, and then sometimes they'll go out in some of the prisons in Ohio, including the Marion Prison, and sometimes the prisoners will extract the silk from the seed, and then they'll put the seed back, and then, yeah, the ODNR will release the seeds into different highway plots. If you ever seen some certain highways have like big, really grassy wildflower patches,
yeah,
that's that program that okay. ODOT and the Division of Wildlife.
Why do they take the seed, the silk off of it?
Because I mean, it's just easier to plant. See, in the wild, the silk, it's kind of like a parachute, so yep. it helps travel the seed into another location.
But it doesn't have to be taken off for it to germinate.
Yeah, it does okay. not have to. Okay. So. But yeah, again, that will be on October 24th at 2 o'clock, and that will be at the Marion Tallgrass Trail. And then October 29th, we'll be back with you from 10 to noon. So
we love having you on.
Yeah. So please make sure if you are interested in any of these programs, again, you must register. Like we've been mentioning throughout the whole entire program, we're only allowed 9 as of right now until the order is lifted up from the governor or from the health department. So how you can register, please send a direct message on the Marion Tallgrass Trail Facebook page or our other social media accounts. If you do not use social media but like to participate, please call us at our office phone number, and I'll give you the phone number. It's 740-223-4161.
Oh boy, I'm glad that's right, because I've been telling people that number for all this last month.
Awesome. And then just please keep in mind that programs can be canceled due to weather and other circumstances.
Of course. It's nature.
Yes.
And nature does things.
That's right. And then I know a lot of you who have participated in our things in August, I know you probably are listening and saying, what about Trail of Treats? As Trail of Treats is our big trick-or-treat event.
Yeah.
We've been talking with the local health department and with our own park board, and we just feel that we decided it's probably not the safest option, because, yes, even though it is outside and everybody will be wearing some form of mask, if you've ever been out there, we usually get over 1,200 people.
Oh, my.
And it's just the problem with the trail, it's very narrow. It'd be very, very hard to keep everybody at that 6 feet social distancing.
Yeah.
And then having that many people in such a very crowded area,
probably not a good idea.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. So we're hoping next year, as long as everything calms down, in 2021, we'll continue our family fun events.
Yeah. Well, you still have events going on, and that's nice.
Yes.
You have had to limit them, but that's also okay. That gives the people that go to it a little bit more attention.
Yeah.
I remember when we went on one, I think I've gone on two.
The winter hikes.
Hikes with you. And the one that I went on, I think there were only about 5 people.
Yeah.
And that was nice, because we could actually talk to you and ask you questions as we were walking.
Yeah.
It gave us a lot of, we felt special.
That's good. You got your own personal tour.
Yeah. And only had to worry about that one eagle staring at us.
Oh, yes. We were.
I will never forget that day. That was fantastic. I've fallen in love with eagles, and now I think everything that flies is an eagle. I yell to my wife, "Hey, there's an eagle!" And no, that's not an eagle; it's a vulture. Oh,
but for too long, they'll start to migrate.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, because the cooler it'll be, there'll be less thermals, and thermals, I tell people, they're invisible in tornadoes, swirling air, and that's why they always they're circling, because they're using thermals to conserve energy.
There are a lot of them around here, though.
There are. Yeah. There are.
Oh,
we got another call.
We've got a call. Hang on, we'll go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air. How would you like to?
I'm going
to
be a double caller today.
Okay, that's all right,
Mr. Fred.
I got a quick story for James. This is my my deer and rut story.
All right.
I'm arrowhead hunting up in Wyandotte County. This has been probably 20 years ago. Just off of Route 67 there in the Smithville area.
Okay.
Sandusky River lays right below the field that I'm hunting arrowheads in. And it's a pretty straight drop-off down to the river. So I'm hunting arrowheads. I'm walking along in this field and not paying too much attention. I happen to look up, and here's a big buck deer standing about 100 feet from me with his head down, shaking and pawing at the ground.
You're in trouble.
I know immediately I am in big trouble. So fortunately, I was pretty close to that bank, so I took off as fast as I could and dove over the bank, literally, almost ended up in the river.
Oh, wow.
To avoid that buck. But I was afraid because, you know, the way he was acting and me standing there, he didn't know what I was, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I got to get out of here quick. So I didn't pay too much attention to the dive. I just took a dive over the bank almost ended up in the Sandusky.
Do we ever get people here in the area that are
attacked by a deer?
I haven't heard here locally, but in the U.S., yeah, there are people that will get attacked.
Yeah, wow.
Well, it was a frightening experience.
Oh, it would be.
I didn't want to stick around long enough to see if he was going to charge me.
Don't give him a chance.
I thought he was going to charge me, honestly, the way he was snorting and pawing at the ground. You know?
Yeah. He didn't want you around his dough.
What month was it? Do you remember what month
it was? It was probably early part of October.
Yeah.
It was in rut. You know, the deer were in rut.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first and last time I went to that field that time of year.
they don't think straight during that time of year.
No. You mentioned being down in the Smokies. You know, we were down in the Smokies last year about this time. I think it was about maybe a week earlier than this, doing some hiking. And we had been in Cherokee at the museum there, okay. And we're on our way back out of town, and we ran into this huge traffic jam going out of town, and of course there were elk everywhere.
Oh yeah.
You know, people were watching the elk, and I couldn't believe, James, how many dumb people there were.
Oh, there were a lot of dumb people.
Of their car.
Yes.
About 15 feet from these giant elk taking pictures.
They're not little critters either.
Oh my gosh, no, these were huge. I think I counted in, well, there were two separate herds. One we came up on first, and then we moved on down the road or up the road, and there was another herd. But I think in the one herd, I counted something like 56 elk.
Would they be around 400 or 500 pounds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Every bit that. And out west in Colorado during their rut season, there's always reports of people doing like what you just mentioned, Fred, and they'll get out, get pictures, and then they get attacked.
Yeah.
Well, and I talked to one of the rangers at the ranger station back in the Smokies, they're just outside of Gatlinburg, you know, that big ranger visitor center there. I was talking to one of the rangers, and they said that these elk were migrating now more into the Smokies proper. I forget where he told me they were released, but they had migrated quite a distance now. So,
Well, nice to see. I tell the story. I think I told the one of the times you've been on with me. I had one of my students got assigned to work at the University of Alaska in Anchorage, and I called him and said, congratulations, and have you seen any moose? Yeah, the moose don't come around here. 2 weeks later, he called me to tell me that a person had been killed by a moose in their parking lot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. And I was fishing up in Gogama, Canada one year, and we were in a fish camp, but there were four or five cabins there, and early one morning, I took my coffee out, and I'm sitting on the stoop of the cabin drinking my coffee, and this was about 6 in the morning. It was just starting to get daylight. And here come this enormous moose cow with a little one with him, walking right through the camp, very nonchalantly, didn't pay any attention to me, but huge. And that was you know, a cow, not a male.
Yeah, and they're well over 500 pounds.
Yeah.
Some of those are well over 1,000, I would guess.
But I would highly recommend anybody to head down to the Smokies September, October. It's absolutely beautiful.
Cool. Oh, yeah,
and,
cool.
And not too awfully crowded when we were there because school had already started.
So that's true.
People, so we had a lot of the trails to ourselves. Absolutely enjoyed it.
All right.
Hey, have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Fred.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We have about 1 minute left, and give us your phone numbers and any other contact information you want to get.
Yeah, so the office phone number is 740-223-4161 or our Marion Tallgrass Trail Facebook page, Instagram account, YouTube channel. So, yeah, look us up.
We will continue to announce these. James is going to leave us all the information, and during Swap Shop we will continue to announce where you can go and the different events that are going to happen, and gotta thank you again for coming on. We'll see you in another month.
Yes, I assume. Last Thursday. Yep.
All right, and we'll be looking forward to it. We got about 10 seconds before we got to get out of here, and then we're going to go to Swap Shop in about 15 minutes after that. Have a great day, and thanks a lot, James. We're out of here.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP.